So the title of this message is Contenders for Christ. Contenders for Christ. I'm going to be in a few places this morning if you want to go ahead and find them. If you want to go ahead and find Colossians first. Colossians and Matthew and Jude. If you want to go ahead and find those three. Past couple of months or so, I wrote down something in my notes. I always have notes on my phone, so anytime I think of something, if I feel like God's impressing me to write it down, whether it's for me or whether it's something I need to minister on, I always write it down. And I wrote down half-baked Christians. And I had a little bit of a revelation on it. And I got to thinking, you know, is this for me? Is this something I should minister on? So I was praying yesterday, trying to figure out, you know, where I wanted to go with today. I thought I would go to the half-baked Christians type of deal. And I guess it's, you know, when I got the revelation on it, I was thinking about people that, and you know, you're seeing this more and more today. I drove by a church, no lie, the other day. We were on the way to a football game or something. I don't know what it was, but there was a church in Georgetown. And on the edge of town, there's a church. It used to be probably a Methodist church or a Lutheran church of some sort. It's been there forever. But I noticed that the sign had changed, because I would have definitely noticed it, because I've been going by that building since I was a kid, because I used to go to team ropings over like 2 miles from, and we'd always go past that area to get there. And I know I would have saw that. I know my dad would have saw it. But the church is a, and I forgot the name of it, but it's a something progressive, earth-friendly, worship the earth church. And it said on the sign, this weekend we're going to be blessing and anointing our pets. I was like, So we kind of know where I could go all day on that one. I mean, I don't think I need to preach on that. I don't think I need to tell you what I'm talking about. I think everybody in here is mature enough to know that we could preach all day on people substituting Jesus for salvation, and Mother Earth is, you know, we're a part of Mother Earth, you know, and she was here before we were, and all this and that, and I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. But moving on, when I got this half-baked Christian phrase in my mouth, I was thinking of how our churches these days are more focused on a production than they are ministering the word. It's not about saving people. It's not about preaching sin and salvation. It's not about teaching people how to grow up, even if it steps on their toes. It's not about church splits and how to, you know, whether it's praying in tongues or whether it's dealing with devils. There's some churches that preach that, you know, there's no Satan, there's no devils, there's, you know, it's just you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's, you know, if you don't know who the enemy is, how are you going to know how to fight? If you don't know that there is a devil that wants to destroy you, how are you, I mean, nobody goes into a battle not knowing who the enemy is. Nobody does that. I had a conversation with someone the other day. Told me he was an atheist. And I said, okay. How do you know you're an atheist? Because of, you know, this, this, and this. My dad's an atheist. And I'm like, well, I didn't ask you what your dad was. I want to know what you are and why you're what you are. And we begin to have this conversation. And he told me, he said, well, I'm not sure I'm an atheist. Do you see how the devil confuses you? Well, I'm not sure. I'm like, well, you either are or you're not, you know. And then he proceeds to tell me, well, you know, sometimes I do pray. I said, why do you pray? Why? Who are you praying to? I don't know, but I always do it just in case. Okay, that's a good reason. But who are you praying to, and how do you know what to pray? If you don't know who you're praying to, I mean, if you're praying to some statue that's, you know, out there on some lawn somewhere, and they call him Balugada, how do you know what Balugada wants for you? Did he write a book? How do you know what to pray? Are you praying that you're going to be really good at sinning? Or do you want to pray that you're going to be really good at not sinning? How do you know? You see how the devil can confuse you? Well, I'm an atheist. Well, I don't know if I'm an atheist. Well, I pray anyway. I mean, he gave me three different scenarios before the conversation was even over. And I gave him the good old, you know, throwback, the good apologetic that said, this is what I always tell atheists or people that don't know. Well, for your sake, you better be right because you got nothing to lose. Then I threw this at him. But if you're wrong, you have everything to lose. Everything. He said, yeah, I see that. And then that conversation ended. I had to move on, had to giddy up, had to go do my job, so on and so forth. But churches these days, even in churches where they preach the Holy Ghost, hellfire, damnation, and they are growing people up, even in churches like that, there's half-baked Christians, because there's so many people that want to be saved, but they don't want to, you know, take the next step, that where God's saying, you know, I'm going to make you a fisherman. I don't want you to just be the fish anymore. I want to make you somebody that goes and finds the fish and catches them with their nets and brings them in. I want you to be those people. And then I had a revelation, you know, about, you know, food that is half-baked doesn't taste good. Think about it. Anything you cook, if it's half-baked, it don't taste good. That's why you open the oven, you test it, and it doesn't look good, let's throw it in there for a little longer. A half-baked item is still edible, but doesn't taste good until it's fully cooked. Now you're thinking, well, how am I supposed to relate that to my life applicable situation? Being a half-baked Christian means that you are half-cooked. It means you're halfway there. It means you've received God, you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've chosen to go to church, you know, and all that stuff, but you choose not to read the Word so that you can grow up and do what Paul said and get off the milk of the Word and start eating on the sirloin. Start eating on the meat of the Word. You have to go. I mean, if we were really good at sinning, we have to be really good at being Christians. If we're going to be really good at sinning, you're going to have to go. I mean, the devil tries to grow you up the best he can too, long before you ever get saved. He's trying to grow you up so that you can serve him. Let me show you something I got the other day. I wrote down this revelation. Devils possess people because they want to be God over them. You never hear of people being possessed by heavenly angels. Only the Holy Spirit. Devils want what doesn't belong to them. You have to remember that the angels marveled at this thing that was called man. The angels marveled. When God made, you know, earth and all that stuff, that was okay. But when he made man, the angels, the Bible says, marveled. Devils want to possess things that don't belong to them. You don't belong to Satan. He doesn't own you. He doesn't have a say-so over you. The only way that he can get what he wants out of you is if you choose to do all of the things that he throws in front of you. He has to coerce you. He has to entice you. He didn't take Eve's hand over to the tree and force her to eat of what she wasn't supposed to eat of. He had to talk her into it. Devils want to possess what they know does not belong to them. Colossians chapter 4. I want to show you, as it relates to being half-baked, I want to show you how the salt principle comes into what it means to be a Christian. Verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. If you read the Amplified, it says, conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, which are non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity. He says, walk in wisdom toward the non-believer. There's one thing you need to get in life, it's wisdom. I've got a book by a minister. It has 5,001 wisdom quotes, and I'm telling you, you read that stuff, I mean, it's just eye-opening. It's like, you know, here's one for you. Here's a wisdom quote I read the other day. A wounded eagle in the barnyard. Now he's talking about chickens and eagles. A wounded eagle in the barnyard is still an eagle. Which means eagles, if you know anything about eagles and chickens, chickens love the barnyard. Eagles can't stand the barnyard. They make their nest way up in the cliffs and in the highest points of all the earth, and they soar above the earth. God has compared us to eagles all through the Bible about how you're to soar, not hang out in the barnyard where all the clucking chickens. Buck, 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 buck. Nope, nope, nope. Not supposed to be the clucking chicken. He said, I want you above the clouds, above the storm. I want you up here. A wounded eagle. If an eagle is wounded, he's talking about you being wounded. He's talking about you being destroyed and being beat down. He said, but you're still an eagle. He said, you might be wounded and broken, but you're still an eagle. Get wisdom. Get understanding and knowledge. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Let me tell you something about non-believers. They don't have much wisdom. They might have earthly wisdom and believe they know it all, but they don't have godly wisdom, and that's the stuff they need. That's the part that they need. Walk in wisdom toward them. Everything you say, be said with grace. It is grace in your speech that gives you the ability to have a conversation with anyone. The Bible says, be all things to all people. You have to learn how to be all things to all people. You need to learn how to have conversation with a homeless guy, or a skateboarder, or a surfer, or a dirtbag, or a good guy. You need to learn how to have conversations with all of them, because you never know when the opportunity is going to come for you to use the wisdom that's in your speech. The grace that's on your lips is what leads people to come to you. People see something on you that they don't recognize anywhere else. You have a grace on you. And I could spend 4 hours ministering on grace alone. Grace alone is way more, it's like the love. Grace and love. Love is way deeper than we understand. Love and grace are just thrown around like just everyday terms. It's way deeper than that. Way deeper. It's the grace on your lips that gives you the ability to minister to the lost soul. God puts grace on you, and when He puts the grace on you, here comes love. And then when love starts coming, here comes wisdom. And then when wisdom starts coming, here comes salvation. And then you start seeing it in your daily life. You start seeing people come to you, and you start laying hands on the sick and seeing them recovered. And you start laying hands on them and praying with them because they're lost, and they don't know which way to turn, and you get them saved. And then you start helping them grow up, all because of the grace on your lips. Walking in wisdom toward, he says, walk in wisdom toward them. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." How many of you know that when you're eating something, I don't care if it's mashed potatoes or a steak, what's the first thing you do if it don't taste good? You put salt on it. You always put salt on it. They use salt as a preservative. In the old days, they didn't have refrigerators. Thank God for refrigerators. Thank God for hot water heaters. Every time I jump in that cold shower in the middle of winter, I'm like, thank God for hot water heaters. I don't know who A.O. Smith is, but thank God A.O. Smith started making water heaters. Keep the salt in your Jesus cake. Okay? Don't be a half-baked Christian. You're halfway there. No matter, I don't care if you're a preacher, if you've got a ministry and you've got 100 employees, you're never finished cooking your cake. When you cook with one, if one ingredient is missing, you can tell. Am I right? Oh, yeah. Did y'all make something last night and you forgot to put it in? Isn't it amazing? They'll say, put in just a little bit of salt. And I'm like, just a little bit of salt? That's all you need? But that little bit of salt does what? It cooks it correctly. I don't know how. I don't know why. But if one ingredient is missing in your cake, you can tell. The cake may be edible, but it is better if it's fully cooked. Turn to Jude. It's right before Revelation. I'm not going to say chapter 1 because there are no chapters. It's just Jude. Verse 3, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You are going to have to step into the ring. You are now a contender. You are now a contender for the faith. You are no longer Joe who used to go to the nightclub. You are no longer Joe or Bill or Bob who used to live like hell. You have been saved and redeemed, and the Bible says that you have left the old man and become a new man. Now, for you to see that in the mirror, you may not be able to see it. But spiritually speaking, you have transitioned into something that the world does not understand. You are now what they call a new creature in Christ. You have now got to step into the ring. Know this, you are now a fighter for the faith. And it is the salt that will determine if the cake you're cooking is worth eating. Are you going to be half-baked? Because I'm telling you, if you're half-baked, you're going to be one of those that might fall for this. We need to pray over our animals and anoint them and bless them because they are holy spirits of the earth. There have been people, I've seen people, and I don't know to the life of me, I don't understand how people can get, now this is, I'm not picking on Baptists or Catholics or anybody else in here, because I is one. I don't know how people can go from religion to a church like Cowboy Church and hear the word preached 100%, talking about everything that's in the Bible, willing to step on toes and preach every bit of the gospel, and they leave these churches like ours and go back to the religion. I don't know how that happens. How can you be stuck in the mud, get in the shower and say, man, I'm clean, and then go back to the mud? I don't understand that. Not picking on any church. I'm not calling the Baptists a bunch of mud hogs. I'm not saying that because I grew up Baptist. I'm not saying churches are wrong. There are Baptist churches that preach the gospel, the full gospel. I'm talking about churches that preach religion. You're not here just to play church. I'm not going to stand up here and read a few scriptures and say, everybody say amen, now say five Hail Marys, and now you're free to go. You're free of sin. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you that there's one way to redemption, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to preach the whole gospel. And Pastor Corey's going to preach the whole gospel. And Ricky's going to preach the whole gospel. Because I can guarantee you, if I quit preaching the gospel, I won't be up here much longer, because I know Pastor Corey ain't going to put up with that. You have now stepped into the ring. And I'm telling you right now, we're seeing it with our president. All hell has come out against him. Every single part of hell. Every single door has been opened. All fury has been poured out. The only president to not take a salary, and they think he's doing it for personal gain. He has his own jets, billions of dollars, but he's doing it for himself, or he's trying to corrupt our system. I'll get off my soapbox. The salt that's in you will determine if the cake you're cooking is worth eating. If you're willing to jump in the oven, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus will help you cook your cake. Amen. There ain't nothing going to purify like fire. I'm here to tell you, if you can walk up the hill knowing that you're about to be thrown into the pit that's been turned up, that the heat, you know, the heat got turned up a little bit, if you're willing to jump in the oven knowing that God's going to save you, I'm here to tell you, you ain't no half-baked Christian. That takes a lot of boldness and confidence. That takes a lot of knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. Stay in the oven. Stay there and learn, and let the fire refine you, and let Jesus mold you, and let Him make you, and let Him make you a fisherman. Let Him form you and make you who you're supposed to be. Not who you think you are, but who He knows that you are. Not who you think you are, but who He knows that you are. Jesus knows who you are, and He wants to make you awesome at that. We're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to have ministries. We're not all called to be bankers. We're not all called to be coaches. We're not all called to be this or that or be financial advisors. We're called to do something, and Jesus knows what it is, and He wants to perfect that which is within you. Paul was diligent, verse 3. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you." See, back then they didn't have Facebook and the internet. They didn't have planes. They couldn't just jump on a plane and fly to Antioch or to Jerusalem. He had to write letters and send the letters with somebody. I mean, the word traveled pretty slow back then. Paul was diligent to write to them because they needed to know that somebody was rooting for them. I was reading the book of Acts. I'm trying to go through the whole book of Acts right now. And I was reading the part where he got stoned. Paul was stoned for preaching the gospel. And they drug him out of the city. And they thought he was dead. And all the disciples are just standing around him and looking at him. And they're like, "Oh my God, is this going to be our fate too?" And all of a sudden he just jumps up and says, "Hey guys, let's get back to work." I do this with my kids at school. I pretend like I'm the reporter. I can just see the reporter showing up and interviewing Paul. "Hey, Paul, so how was it when that stone finally hit you right in the face? How did that feel?"
"It hurt."
"It hurt. Yeah, oh, well, Paul, Paul, what's your ministry going to look like from now on going forward?" "Well, I don't know. I'm going to just go back and just preach the gospel." "Amen. All right, back to you, Bob." Looks like we're moving on here. I could just see him laying there dead, you know, just having rocks thrown at him, and they drag him outside of the town. I can just see him, you know, just dragging him, and he's got dirt all over his back or all over his face, and they just drag him out and just leave him out there on the dirt. And his disciples just standing around looking at him, thinking he's dead. And he just jumps up and says, "Man, that last rock really hurt, man." I could just see him standing up, just, and there's not a bruise on him. He just gets up and goes back to preaching. You're going to have to be a fully baked cake if you want to survive in these last times. You're going to need to be, to survive the persecution, but also to save the lost. It's funny how people that are always throwing stones at us are always the ones that get offended when you throw the stones back. Absolutely. Liberals are always mad. And they're always, and everybody's always talking about how hypocritical they are. They're always giving all the conservatives a hard time, and then when the conservatives fight back, they get offended. Oh, he's throwing rocks at me. Doing the exact same thing they've been doing to us for years. That's how the devil operates. He said, I'll throw stones at you, but I'm going to put a fence on the people when you throw stones back. I'm going to put a fence on them. And then they're going to start whining and crying, and they're going to start condemning, because that's how the devil operates. He always condemns. He doesn't say, bring on the fight. He just tries to put a fence on the ones that have been throwing the stones this whole time. He tries to make it look like they're getting picked on. Oh. That's a shame. It is amazing, and I go back to, did I tell y'all I was a middle school teacher? Oh, I have fun with it. It's amazing how much our kids don't know. It's amazing. I wish they all knew everything before they ever came to class. I wish they did. They don't know words like, you know, there's some that struggle with just simple words like, you know, we may not know the full definition of the word prestigious, but we know kind of what prestigious means. And it's amazing, not just in class, but on the football field, not just in middle school, you see it at the high school level. You see exactly how much people don't know. I see more now because I quit teaching for 15 years, and I'm seeing a whole lot more now than I did when I was in, because I was stupid. I was not very smart. I was dumb. And I didn't see the wisdom that I see now. And I try to handle it the best that I can. But it is amazing what people don't know. And how our kids are not grown up. They expect teachers and coaches to grow them up. It's not our job. We have to be parents. You have to be parents and raise your kids according to the Word of God. Don't rely on somebody else to raise your kids or your grandkids. You be the educator. Grow them up. Paul was diligent to write to them because he knew that they needed support. What do? When we see somebody post something on Facebook, we comment. Why? Because they need support. Anytime we see people struggling, whether it's an email or a text or it's a Facebook post or a Twitter post, we always post something to help support. You know, like, oh, that's great. We're building them up. Or if you see somebody down, we're like, oh, man, come on, you can do this. Hang in there. In verse 4, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. This is where the half-baked Christian stuff comes in right here. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you read the Message Bible, it says denying the Lord Jesus and believing that grace comes through a license, almost like you're entitled. Almost like you're entitled to go to heaven. If that was true, then Hitler's there also. Then all of the devil worshipers would be there too. You're not entitled to anything. You have an opportunity, you have the right to, but you're not entitled to. He's talking about people in church that are splitting churches. He's talking about backbiters. He's talking about people that bring the old man into church. They get saved. They go to church, and then all of a sudden they bring the old man into church with them. The old man that they were before they were saved. He says there's going to be those kind of people. Certain men that have crept in unaware. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't just come out and say, hey, I'm the devil. Hey, look at me. The devil doesn't announce himself and say, hey, I'm here. Beware. It is possible when you're struggling in life, or if there are churches that struggle, it is possible for your camps to have an enemy. God had Satan, Jesus had a Judas, and Trump has anti-Trumpers. Amen? I'm not comparing him to Jesus. I'm not saying he's up there on that level. I'm just saying there are people that might be in your camp that are against you, that look like sheep, but they're dressed. They are dressed up, wolves in sheep's clothing. Did y'all see that we killed ISIS, the ISIS leader this morning? Hey, that's what I'm talking about. I don't care who's president. I'm the guy died. If God can have an enemy in his camp, don't think for a second that there won't be one in yours. If Jesus can have a Judas in his camp, don't think for a second there won't be one in yours. If you're struggling, sometimes, I teach this all the time to my kids. Sometimes the extra voice that you're hearing is the wrong one. And if you're around the wrong people, that's the wrong one. Those are the enemies that are in your camp. And it's not until you tell somebody no that you really figure out who they really are. When you tell somebody no, you find out just how close they really are. The devil uses offense in church more than probably any other place. If he can keep you offended, he can keep you out of church. That's why you have church hoppers. That's why you have people that quit going to church, because they got offended at church. And I always say this, you know, you never quit going to your job because somebody offends you at your job. Why do you quit going to church? You didn't quit eating hamburgers because you had a bad hamburger. Just find another church. The devil has found a way to separate us through religions. You got the Catholics, the Baptists, and if you're not in that clan, then they say you're not one of them, you're not a Christian. There are some churches that say if you're Catholic, you can't marry, you know, you can't marry another person that's not a Catholic or whatever. You know, if you're not a Mormon, you can't marry somebody that's not a Mormon. I'm like, who decided that? Who was sitting around talking and said, hey, you know, we can't allow this? I can understand wanting only certain people in your camp. I understand that. But our job is not to pick and choose who comes to church, whether they're full of sin or without sin. We don't get to pick and choose who comes. If there's anybody we want coming, it's the hellraisers. Amen? We want the spotted. We want the ones with the spots. We want the ones that are stained with sin, and we want to try to remove them, remove that coat of burden. Churches have been battling church splits since the beginning of churches. The devil knows how to get in your camp. He knows where you're weakest, and that's where he enters. He doesn't come in where you're the strongest. He enters where you're the weakest. Verse 12. He says, now as you read from verse 4 up to verse 12, he talks about, you know, all the ones that have crept in unaware, all the sinners, all the people that come in and try to destroy churches or whatever. He says, these are the spots in your feast of charity. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. They are trees whose fruit withered without fruit. They are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. He's comparing nature to how some people act in church. He says some of them are fruitless. They're Christians. They go to church, but they're fruitless. They're absolutely fruitless. They have no fruit on the tree. They come to church. They play church. This, that, and the other, and they're just there. They're like seas foaming out. You know, when you go to the seashores, there's always foam on the beach. He said they're like waves, real loud waves, trying to stir up stuff, and they keep foaming at the mouth, and it just keeps showing up on your beach. They're plucked up by the roots. They have no roots. Remember the scriptures where Jesus is comparing people to the ones, you know, about the seed that fell on the stony ground and the seed that fell on the good soil, and, you know, the seed that, you know, where the birds, you know, the birds came along and plucked up all the seeds that were thrown and trying to, you know, they're trying to, where man had sown seed. The devil goes around trying to steal every single seed that has been sown into you that has anything to do with Jesus. He wants to pluck every single seed up. Because if you don't have love fruits or love roots, you won't produce love fruit. You have to have love roots in order to produce love fruit. If your tree is not planted in good soil and you're not trying to grow up as a Christian and not be one of those half-baked Christians, you're trying to grow up and be a real leader as a Christian, then you're probably one of those that does not have love roots. You've got to put your roots in the ground and allow God to make you a fisherman. Man, he's got to grow us up. In these end times, there will be church splits. It just happens. That stuff happens because of the enemy. We pray against that stuff. There's been people come to this church and come and gone. And everybody thought, you know, if they ever left, blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. I'm here to tell you, you can't believe that stuff. Not this church. This church is hung in there. There's been plenty come and go. There's been plenty. There was people in leadership that have come and gone. But this church just keeps on going. Why? Because we keep believing by faith that we're going to keep growing up. And if that's all we have is a bunch of grown-up Christians and there's nobody else coming, we got to get them in here. You got to start bringing them and believing that God can help you help them. Enemies are spots on your ministry. And I wrote, but the blood of Jesus is the Clorox bleach to get rid of the spots. The blood of Jesus is the Clorox that gets rid of all the spots. He said, these are spots in your feast of charity. He's talking about our giving, you know, you're being a minister, you know, or ministering to people, and you're going to have people that are going to try to stop what it is that you're doing. There's going to be people that are going to tell you, you know, you shouldn't start a ministry. I don't know what you're thinking. You shouldn't go over there and try to do this or try to do that or try to travel to another country to minister. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. You just better make sure that that's what God wants you to do. And there's going to be people that don't agree with you and don't think you can do it. Half-baked Christians struggle with enemies, which is why you need the Holy Ghost. Verse 17, he says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Yes, it is possible to be saved and not be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Does it mean you're not going to heaven? No. Does it mean you're a half-baked Christian? Yes. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you right now, being a Christian is one thing, but having the Holy Ghost as your boss and helping you is another thing. You can't do it on your own. We were not designed to do it on our own. That's why God, when he made man, he said it's not good that man should be alone. The law of two is the only way you multiply. You cannot be awesome, and I tell this to people all the time, anything worth pursuing in life is going to require more than one. You're going to be successful in your company. Companies can't do it by themselves. It takes more than one. You can't multiply without one, without two. He says, verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual. He said, these are the people that are focused on their own sensual desires, having not the Spirit. He says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I think the Message Bible says it this way. He says, go easy on those who hesitate in the faith. That's the ones that are probably saved, but maybe they took the wrong route, went the wrong way in life, still saved, but just are not fully grown. It says, go easy on those who hesitate. If you got the Message Bible, that's probably what it says. That hesitate in the faith, go after those who take the wrong way. Be tender with sinners, but not soft on sin. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something I've noticed a lot in people. Is there are a lot of people that just don't know how to talk to people. I'm here to tell you, there are so many people just don't know how to talk to people. They don't know when to talk. They don't know when to not talk. And then when they are talking, they don't know how to say it. And they don't know what to say. It is the grace that's on your lips that trains you in the ways that you should go. It is the grace that is on you that gives you the wisdom on how to say and what to say and how to say it. You know, I've heard it. I hear people, kids say this sometimes. There are kids that I teach, they're like, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Hold on now, wait a minute. It's one thing to have one person not liking you, but if there's a lot of people that don't like you, it's not you. It's not them, it's you. It's okay to have one person that don't agree with you. But when you say everybody don't like you, it's not them, it's you. So if you're one of those that thinks everybody's against you and you don't have any friends, it's not them, it's you. Now, if there's one person not liking you, that's a different story. When you're a contender for the faith, you're not only fighting for yourself, but also for the baby Christians and the lost. When you become a contender for the faith, you're stepping in the ring for not only yourself, but for everybody else that needs you. There's lost out there that need you to fight for the faith. Guys, think about this. If the Christians give up, who are they going to turn to? We can't give up. No matter how bad persecution gets, because I'm here to tell you right now, there are some people in high places that would love to eliminate Christianity from all public places. They would love to make all churches underground churches, where you have to build sanctuaries under the ground where nobody can see you praising and worshiping God, where all the signs that say, hey, come to church in the public places, all disappear. There are people that are willing, that are trying to shut you up. There are people trying to silence your voice. But the Bible is saying here, he says, go after the sinners. Be ready to talk to them and be willing to minister to them. And he says, and others save with fear in verse 23, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. When you become a full-blown Jesus freak, you are so passionate about pulling people out of the fire that you don't even want to smell the smoke on their garments. He's saying pulling them out of the fire, that they not even have a spot, not even a spot, or even evidence that they've even been in the fire. When you become a contender for the faith, you become one of those salty Christians. You ever heard that old saying, you know, boy, he's pretty salty. You know what that means? That means he's one of those that just, he's the type to just absolutely go after you. He might even throw down with you if you let him. You're going to have to fight for your faith. You're going to have to learn how to get in the ring. Because, Jesus never said this is going to be easy. He never, ever said that this is going to be, you know, it's not always going to be fun. He said, but there will always be joy. You may not always be happy, but there will always be joy. The presence of joy will always be there. You can still have joy and not be happy. You can still be in the fight and be losing and still be victorious in the end. My friends, it is up to us to fight for the lost, because they are trying to silence us. They're trying to silence our president, who's doing everything. I mean, he moved the capital back to Jerusalem. Do you know how much hell he got for that? Do you know how many doors of hell were opened when the devil saw him trying to bring the capital of Israel back to Jerusalem? Anytime you do anything in Israel, you can bet it's going to be met with resistance. He's doing things, and I'm not up here to give a political speech, but when you start doing things right, the enemy is coming for you. And I am thrilled that I'm on the enemy's list. If you ain't on the devil's list, then you ain't doing it right. Once you get this Jesus stuff down, devil starts putting you on his list. And if you ain't on the list, then you ain't putting forth the effort. You're not a threat to him. But when you become a salty Christian, he starts putting you on the list of people he needs to destroy or silence. Don't be one of those half-baked Christians. It's like Rusty was saying last week, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you want the Holy Ghost, you come up here after service. I'll pray over you. We've done it before. You want the Holy Ghost? Do you think you need it? You come up here. We'll pray for you. I'll tell you why you need it, and then I'll pray that you get it, because you're going to need it. You can't do it by yourself. And you're going to have to fight. And I'm telling you, you can fight in the physical, but you can't fight in the spiritual without the Holy Ghost on your side. Fighting in the physical is one thing. That's up to you. That's up to you whether you win or not. Fighting in the spiritual you're going to have the prerequisite, which is the Holy Spirit, in order to win those battles. Devils don't go away easy. You can't just say, well, I don't like you, devil. He's going to say, well, I don't care. I don't care what you think of me. But when you start saying the name of Jesus and you start praying in the Holy Ghost, devils don't like that. And they don't hang around where they're not wanted. And they don't hang around when they hear things they don't like to hear. It's just the way God designed it. God created us, and God created Jesus to be the final say. And that's the way, I don't know, you can call it the law of Jesus if you want. The law of Jesus says if you just say Jesus, the devils have to flee. It's just a law that's been established. And there ain't nothing any devil can do about it. You got to learn how to fight. You are now a contender in this world for the faith. And you're going to have to know how to fight. Our president deals with it every single day. And there are a lot of people in his position that wouldn't have been able to take that kind of abuse. There's a lot of people that wouldn't have been able to withstand that. They would have gave in. They would have submitted to all what the enemy wanted. But he just keeps hanging in there. I rooted for Obama too when we got bin Laden. Blessed be the Lord of my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Psalm 144, verse 1. Learn it, because you're going to need it. Amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're not saved today, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your only way to heaven. If you're new here, never been to this church before, and you didn't know that you had to receive Jesus to be saved, I want you to know that right now is your opportunity to receive him. We'll give you an opportunity right now to receive him. We never close a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So if you're not saved today, we're going to pray a prayer with you today. And we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. And I believe if you pray this prayer and you mean it, you believe what you pray, and you get serious with God right now, and you pray this prayer, I believe when you receive Jesus that your destination will be heaven. There's only two destinations. It's either heaven or hell. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I don't know what your church taught you. I don't know what religion you're from. But I'm here to tell you right now that no matter what religion says, there's only one way to heaven, and we preach the Bible, and the Bible says that there's only one way to get there, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now. We're going to pray with you. And I would urge you to pray this prayer and get serious with God right now and receive Him. If you've never received Him, say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and arose again on the third day. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, you received Jesus for the very first time, if that was you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. And by raising your hand, you're saying, I prayed that prayer for the first time. I received Jesus for the very first time today. If that was you, on the count of three, nobody's looking around, it's just me. On the count of three, if that was you, raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? All right, well, look at me. Very good. Okay. So, with all that being said, let's start growing in the faith. Start moving on to bigger and better things. If you don't like reading the Bible, get books that talk about the Bible. Amen? That's how I started. You can turn the music down. Thank you. That's how I started, because I didn't have any confidence in reading the Bible either. I was a baby Christian. I was 20-something years old. So I started reading books that talked about the Bible. And then when I started to learn all this stuff, like, you know, angels and all that other stuff and tongues and all that and being redeemed and finding out who I was in Jesus, I started reading books about it. But read the Bible. You'll be glad you did. Amen? So y'all go out there and fight this week. Don't get any fights now. Don't be throwing down with anybody. But start becoming a wise Christian. And start ministering to those people when you have opportunities. Amen? Because, man, it's fun. I love having those conversations with atheists. I just love it. I love hearing what comes out of their mouths and how they get set free. Don't forget about Bible study this week. Pastor Corey's still doing the 40 and under group. Pastor Corey and Jamie, they'll be here on Tuesday to minister to the 40 and under. And we still have Bible study, regular Bible study that we've been doing for however many years we've been doing it. But we do split up, and the 40 and unders stay with Corey and Jamie, and the rest go to a different room. And it's a great opportunity to come in and ask questions. It's a totally different setting where you can ask questions. If you got questions about what they're talking about. So just don't forget about that. Pastor Corey will be traveling back today. I think he's at the Roping Fiesta, is that right? So he's at the Roping Fiesta today. So y'all, again, be praying for them as they travel home. And look forward to seeing him next Sunday. Okay? Is there any other announcements I need to cover? Good. By the way, it's almost Christmas. Yeah, I love Thanksgiving too. Ain't nothing better than all that food. All that food. All right. Well, y'all stand to your feet. We'll get out of here. So thankful. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to turn it over to Ricky. He's going to come up here, close us out. Thanks, buddy.
We got to learn how to fight. And fight the right way. That's awesome. Awesome. Howdy's like I am, that we don't get paid to come preach, and he's not on salary here. And one thing that we do, it's like we teach. If you're new here, we teach tithes and offerings, that we have faith that God provides for us. And so, like I said, Howdy doesn't receive payment from the church for preaching, but if God puts it on your heart and you're led and you would like to give, this bucket right here is for Howdy. So after church, if you'd like to come up and give. Also, if you're making checks out, it's Howdy Byers, B-Y-A-R-S Ministries, not .com. Howdy Byers Ministries. So if God puts it on your heart, y'all come up and give. So we're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father God,
am I on? There we go. So again, we talked about before we get out of here, and if you feel led to come up and receive the Holy Ghost, you come up here today. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. If you want to receive Him, you come. We'll be up here. We'll pray with you. We'll educate you. We'll teach you what it is that you're actually doing, and hope it changes and tell you how it's going to change your life. So if you want to do that today, you come up here after we're done, and we'll pray over you. Amen. Okay? Go ahead.
Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the Word that leads and guides us, and the Holy Spirit that teaches us and comforts us, Father. We know that when we leave here, that You don't stay here, but that You go with us. But You go with us for us to share You, Father God, with other people so that they may know to come to You and to know You, Father God. We thank You. We just pray blessings over everyone here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed.